The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
This is the Bill Myers Show.
KMED, KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. Steve is in Sunny Valley on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Hi, Steve. What are you thinking?
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the smoking rivets comment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had read that mechanics used to be able to tell where cracks were in fuselages of airlines because of the nicotine stains that would be on the outside of the cracks. Was that an urban legend?
No. What it is vibration causes the aluminum to fret, and the fret is like black. If you ever polished aluminum, you'll see it gets black before you wipe it off, and it's just essentially bits of aluminum.
Oh, okay.
And when a rivet is loose, it frets in the hole, and you can see a streak of black downwind from the loose rivet. So you know you got to drill that one out, put one in oversized, and put it back
yeah,
in.
And make sure that we don't have any. You see, there's a certain type of crack that's okay that you can repair, and there's other ones you got to really watch out for. I forget. Do you know what those are?
Well, in aluminum, you can stop drill a crack, and what that does is it puts a nice round hole that doesn't work harden when it vibrates, mm-hmm. and so the crack doesn't get any bigger, but you really ought to put a repair on every crack.
Yeah, but what I understand, you have to make sure that any kind of repair you do is nice and round, though, right? No sharp edges that could cause any additional crack spaces
right.
in the area.
Yeah, you'll get stress. Mm-hmm. In sharp edges, and that will cause more cracks.
Yeah. Wasn't there an airliner that came out, I want to say in the 1950s, that the BOAC flew or something like that, that they had square windows, and that's what they figured out after a while, because it was square windows instead of round windows, that they were always blowing out from the stress cracks on the corners of the squares?
I remember the what I learned in A&P school.
De Havilland. It's a De Havilland. That's what I was thinking of. Some De Havilland
right.
jet.
And it was Britain's first jet fighter. Was it the Vampire? I don't remember. Anyway, yes. That's when they discovered that aluminum work hardens and cracks, even in nice, smooth jets.
Yeah.
And expansion and contraction from altitude accelerates it.
Fascinating. I appreciate the call there, Steve. Thanks for setting me straight on that. Let me go to line two. We got line two. Good morning. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Bill. Michael Shaw. Lots of comments on the topic, so let me just run through them real quick. Not okay. Take too much of your time.
Well, that's okay. Well, I never mind you taking my time. The whole idea of a talk show is to talk to smart people, and I appreciate smart people calling. I really do.
Why, thanks. I appreciate your compliment, even though it's false. Thank you. First off, I remember as a kid sneaking a book out of my mother's room and reading it called Coffee, Tea, and Me.
Yes.
Which was about the exploits of stewardesses in the 60s and early 70s. And it was a hoot and a holler, but supposedly it was factual. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Number two, on the smoking ban on airlines, that was during the 80s because I was traveling a lot in the 80s. And they started off with a ban on flights of 3 hours or less, which then became a ban on smoking of 6 hours or less on flight time. That then became a ban on smoking in restaurants, which became a ban on smoking in bars, which began a smoking in parks in San Francisco. So that was all the mid to late 80s that all that stuff came down into the early 90s.
Not that I would advocate for smoking, but I kind of miss the freedom in some ways. Don't you?
No, I understand. And I was a smoker back then. And I will tell you that as those bans progressed, it did lead to me or contribute to me quit smoking in 1998 completely. So I pushed back and hollered and screamed about the bans happening. But it actually ended up benefiting me. So, you know.
Yeah, but of course, you know, the worst kind of tyranny is the tyranny for your own good, right? That's still the way I look at that.
I agree.
Hey, thanks for the call, Michael. I appreciate that. Jackson County Commissioner Colleen Roberts will join me here in a couple. We'll talk about the need for your comments on the jet boat rules. Yep, the deadline's coming up.
Short and chilly days are an opportune time to work on the interior of your home. Drake's Paint and Supply, your...
Clear and Verizon welcome. Plan benefits vary. See details. Capable device required for Scam Shield. Turning on Scam Block, my block calls you on. Disable anytime.
Hear KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River in South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
21 after 8. Joining me in studio is Jackson County Commissioner Colleen Roberts. Colleen, welcome back. How are you doing this morning?
I'm well. Good morning.
All right, Dan. Maybe I'll just grab a quick call here. This person was calling before we were coming up here. I just want to make sure maybe they wanted to talk with you. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Mary.
Hey,
and
Mary.
I just wanted to comment, the gal that wrote the story about how much she hated being a flight attendant and a stewardess. I have a couple of friends here that are also former flight attendants in the Valley, and we all loved our job.
She loved it.
Believe me,
the author, Mary, was not upset about it at all. She loved it, but there were some good and bad things about it, both ways.
Well, she was really hung up on the weight and on... she was just hung up on stupid things. We all knew what we were getting into at the time when that job was like that. That's the way it was. And we were all very grateful to be attractive enough, to be thin enough, to be beautiful enough to be flight attendants. And if you remember the Leonardo DiCaprio movie where the Pan Am stews, which was what I was, were walking through the airport, that's how it was. Everybody wanted to be us. And yep. I have great memories of that, and I was able to fly all around the world for free, and it was a great job. And then when I finally retired, I went to law school and did something else, but we had to have a college degree to do that because everybody wanted to be that. I don't know who she flew for. It's an abomination the way it is today. Big, fat hunkers going down the aisle, but I loved it, and everybody I know loved it, and she seems to be going, rah. She should have had another job.
I did not interpret that at all, and by the way, she wasn't the one who did it. She was telling the story of a flight attendant who described it as her. And by the way, she was flying for United Airlines in the early 60s.
She's a little bit older than me, but I just love the job. I'm so happy I did it.
Good.
I got to see so much of the world.
Yep, and I'm glad you did. All I'm saying, though, is that I think you misinterpreted that comment. I just thought it was just interesting to describe that, the weight and stuff like that, stuff that we wouldn't even consider. We wouldn't even consider today.
She was incorrect when she said the weight changed. The weight changed when we in the United States started hiring male flight attendants. Because if you were 5'7 and a woman, say you weighed 130, and if you were a man, you weighed 170. So that blew that right out the window. And the other thing was, you got weight check was you were supposed to stay within 5 months of your 5 pounds of your hiring weight, and that was okay. That was all okay and okay with my friends. And I've heard this woman on so many stations, radio stations, TV, and I've always wanted to call up and say, hey, I'm grateful I was a stewardess. I really am.
Okay. I don't know which interview you heard, Mary. I really don't. But I appreciate your call because I didn't get that impression that you were talking about at all. But I thank you for checking in. I don't get it. But that's all right. You can have a difference of opinion about it. But thank you for checking in. It's 24 minutes after 8. Okay, Commissioner Roberts, we got a job right now, don't we?
Yes, we do.
What is our job right now when it comes to this amazing Marine Board rule, which is about locking up the Rogue River? Huh? What do we got going on?
Well, there's an opportunity, first and foremost, I guess, to get the information out for public comment due December 20th. And it's on the proposed rulemaking in the Upper Rogue. And full disclosure, for myself, I am not a proponent of restrictions. And I think restrictions rob all of us of our freedom and our life and liberty and our pursuit of happiness in every way, shape, and form. They're never rolled back. They're only built upon. And that's my personal view. So I have attended every meeting that they've had. And Oregon State Marine Board has had 2 meetings here locally, one in October before their proposed rulemaking, and one last week on the 4th, on Wednesday, after their proposed rulemaking. And you'll have to look at you can go to the Oregon State Marine Board website to get the specific interpretation of their proposed rules, because it's a certain part of the Upper Rogue that has a speed restriction, a certain part of the Upper Rogue that has a no motorized at all, and a restriction on the charter boat of 300 trips a year, and operational hours and times and things. And I'm not sure what the enforcement arm of that is that hasn't been disclosed. But you know that comes with more. It's going to be post-rules law eventually.
This is the camel's nose in the tent, I guess, when it comes to the Rogue Valley. And my concern about this is I've seen comments coming out in which people are talking about, oh, the jet boats are tearing up the beds, right? Tearing up
the salmon beds.
And I just call bullshit on it. And I'm going to write one about this because there is no environmental destruction that gangrene lawyers paid for by taxpayer dollars at some point don't sue us out of existence for anything that would even have a breath of problems on
the erosion
and all the rest of it. And it's and yet there has never been anything filed about what's been going on with the Rogue River with jet boats and all the rest of it, because I don't think it's really happening. You got people walking out there in the middle of the river.
It's where fly fishermen walk through.
And they're walking in the salmon beds.
Right? Exactly. But
no one's talking about banning them.
No, not now. You know, right now it's the jet boat. I hear the testimony, there's testimony that says, oh, it's the jet boats. It's destroying the threatened Chinook salmon beds. And there's other testimony that says the jet boats are the least harmful to the Chinook salmon beds. I mean, you can find testimony and data to support whatever point you want to make. But there is multiple uses that use that river that affect every part of the river, whether it's salmon beds or the bank integrity or the safety. The Rogue River is a dangerous river, and there are lives lost every year. I don't believe in the Upper Rogue there's ever been a life lost due to a jet boat accident. There's been a life lost nearly every year due to a flotation trip.
Someone on their kayak. And, and by the way, does this mean that we want to ban flotation devices and kayak people? Of course not.
No, it is our recreation. It is the risk you take on the river.
But do you believe, though, that there is any kind of restriction where they need to not be, the jet boats in general?
Not what?
Do you think there's any restriction that would be reasonable that might be needed, given what the Oregon Marine Board is proposing?
I personally don't see a basis. In fact, the jet boat company that has really been the target of this is the Rogue Jet Boat Adventures. They've actually put like dash cams, you know, how we've had to put in our vehicles to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. They've actually installed multiple cameras to protect themselves from the many claims that's been levied against their business. And it's been at a stellar record from the information that's come through that I've seen.
All right. Does the board have a position on a comment that has been made, or are they making one?
The board's position has been a support of multiple use and the multi-use doctrine being really the foundation for the Marine Board to support navigation, fishing, commerce, and all those uses to remain on the river, the Rogue River.
So that's the position of the board.
Yes.
So you're looking for support from the public to reiterate this more or less?
Oh, I would love support for the multi-use to stay. I would love the people to all of the hearings that have happened in Medford are archived on the Marine Board mm-hmm. website. And I would love people to have their opinion, listen to the public hearings. I think the last public hearing showed some of the maybe unintended consequences of the rulemaking that would affect other areas of commerce on the river, other areas of public uses that have been used for decades without any conflict on the river that would hamper that. And so there's been other areas that have been pointed out that, hey, you're affecting what I do on the river by what you're proposing here. And so I think people have their own stories to tell as well. And I think it's their freedom and their use of the river and their story that is probably the most impactful. You know, I believe there's probably a lot of political pressure put on here. I know Senator Jeff Golden was at this last public hearing imposing some of his political influence there. Mm-hmm. And that's most unfortunate. You know, he may have a big influence in Salem, but Senate District 3 is pretty small in the Rogue Valley. And I believe it's the people's voice that is the majority of the Rogue Valley here, and their voice is what's most important in this process.
We have until 20th, though, to get written comments in, correct?
Correct.
All right. Do you have an address for that?
There's a physical address or there's an email address. It's posted also on the Marine Board website. The Daily Courier, I had on me was an article from the Daily Courier, and it's by email. Do you want me to just give it to you?
Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will
post
it. Let me just put it up on the KMED website today.
Okay, or people could get a hold of me. I will send it out to anybody who needed that information. If they wanted to email me, I would be happy to get it.
Yeah, we have until the 20th, right?
Yes.
That's it? 20th,
sooner
probably
the better.
5 o'clock? All right.
You bet.
All right. So
put it on your Christmas list first thing.
Make a meaningful public comment. And if you have people and friends that would have an opinion on this, it is certainly welcome, and get organized and get this in, because frankly, the people who are in favor of a lot of regulation of the Rogue River, they tend to be much better organized than people who just want to kind of have a free hand and just be left alone to do their thing on the river. And I think that's one of the challenges that you get. The people who hate something as it is are always more organized than those who are just trying to say, hey, you know, we're kind of doing okay here, really.
And I sure felt from the last public hearing that the proposed rules that were presented just almost ticked off the few that have made this fuss to get it to this point.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough. They want the jet boat shut down. And they were not happy at all. And so, I think that what they did was, you know, their intent is to shut down the jet boat business. And this didn't even come close to it. And they were a little ticked about it.
Okay. All
but
right.
It's quite entertaining if you want to watch the public hearing and take your blood pressure medication.
Okay.
But hats off to the Marine Board. I think they've given every opportunity for all voices to be heard in the Rogue Valley. And they've really been patient. They've made several trips here. They've made every opportunity by mail, by email, in person. And I think it's given a very credible process to what they're trying to accomplish.
Public comments needed. And you know what Ed has said in the past, our friend Mr. X, is that your silence is your consent. And
boy,
you don't want to be silent about this particular situation. I think that there's a way to referee the competing uses, you know, on this Rogue River without having to get to the point where we're just completely cracking down, shutting down. And, you know, I swear that there are so many people around here that are afraid that someone could actually make something economically viable. Here in Southern Oregon, hey, they're making money on the river. Yeah.
They said that, you know.
Did
how
they really?
Could one business be allowed to make money off the river, you know? Well, we got the forest shut down. You know, nobody can make money there anymore. Well, let's shut down the rivers too. Why should anybody make money? Commerce is a big deal, and recreation is what brings people to the Rogue Valley. That's what our tourism thrives on. I mean, it has a lot of tentacles to these decisions.
Hey, listen, we all can't go to work for Loma Katsi and get government checks granted to us in order to work for a living. Just saying, okay?
Yes.
All right,
well, I thank your listeners for listening and being involved and being active in this process, and thank you for the opportunity to get the word out.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Colleen Roberts. It is 8:34. You're on KMED.
We've heard it all.
A two-car accident in my own driveway. Yikes.
I should have cut down.
KMED. Give Bill a call at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
Hello, Matt. You wanted to comment on the rulemaking on the upper row. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I do. I wanted to add a little bit of history. So in 2017, they tried to do the same thing that they're doing now, and it was driven by a Riverside landowner, Greg Layton, and he wanted to shut down powerboats in front of his house. And that there was a lot of public outcry. They squashed it. Didn't happen. They're doing it again. And one of the guys petitioning for it, Don Blazer, lives on the river, doesn't want boats going by his house. So these things are being driven by landowners.
Yeah, essentially, they look at the river as theirs rather than a, they don't want public use, ultimately.
Well, yeah, they're trying to take public property rights away from the public and give it to themselves. And the Rogue is a navigable river. According to the Oregon Constitution, when Oregon became a state, they deemed the Rogue River as a navigable river that would be a common highway and forever free. And the Oregon Marine Board doesn't seem to recognize that they're restricting a common highway.
Well, that's something that you can put then in your meaningful public comment then, Matt. Thanks for making it, okay? 770-5633. Let me go to Ed. Hello, Ed. Go ahead.
Hello, Bill. I wanted to comment on something that Colleen had mentioned, or you had talked about Jeff Golden's involvement in this. But he had made a comment at one of the meetings that the people he represents require this, and he represents X number of people, and his district doesn't even go to those parts. He represents the Southern District. Now, granted, we all have aspects of what you were just talking about, the constitutional access to that. So, but the reality to this is the attitude that he wants to take his own personal opinion and not those of all of the people involved that live around here and have access to that river. Like the previous caller just said, this is a constitutional right. It is a highway. You're supposed to have free access to it. And the reality to it is that it's all a lie. Those boats are not disturbing the salmon beds any more than anybody walking through there at a fly fishing thing.
And if they were truly destroying those salmon beds, Ed, they would have been sued out of existence by this time. The fact that they have not tells you what a lie that claim is. Let's be real about it, because we know how sensitive gangrene is to any intrusion on its sacred Mother Earth agenda, okay?
That's the thing. And it's like we have to separate out the lies from the facts and the common misconceptions that people have. You know, the talk of, the salmon are returning to the Klamath. We spotted seven salmon up in the upper river. Well, the only viable explanation for that is that those fish were released from there. That's the reality. They had to be a program, or they were literally set free right there. And the true reality to this is salmon return to where they were spawned, and it's a genetic encoding that they literally do this. And all of these people lie to make something appear to be good and avoid the discussion about the damages that they've done. And every aspect of this becomes a damage.
All right. Thank you for the comment there, Ed. I hope you're going to make that meaningful comment. You're pretty good at it, you know.
Oh, I try to be, Bill.
Okay. Thank you, Ed. It's 20 before, make it 19 before 9. Let me grab another quick call or two. And then we're going to have to get ready for the Diner 62 quiz. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Minor Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
My pet peeve is they're going to have to let mining happen because China just did an embargo on all critical strategic metals in a raw form being shipped to the United States.
Well, you know, that might mean that mining will be great again here in Oregon if they can get past the moratoriums. All right. Thanks, Dave. Let me go to line one. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill. It's Francine.
Hello, Francine. What's up?
Well, you know, the navigable waters of the Rogue River.
Yes.
You know, now, before I go on, I just want to say I'm not criticizing any use of the waterways at all. But when this was first put into place, they deemed it to be a navigable waterway. There was no such thing as, you know, these giant speedboats that, you know, went around and just, you know, could create all kinds of wakes and, you know, just whatever. I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying this wasn't part of the plan. And if you think about it, it's like, you know, I-5 is a roadway for traveling, but they don't let race cars, you know, do 120 on it either. So I'm just bringing this up as a point. I'm not making judgments.
Sounds like you're making a judgment to me.
No, I'm just bringing up a point that's something to consider. I don't have I'm not involved in this whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't think that these are race boats, though.
Well, the speedboats. Mm-hmm. That isn't that what the gripe is all about?
Well, I think the grudge is that there's any presence, because there are also, you know, jet boats that can be very small boats, and they get the same complaint. We don't want them because it's damaging the salmon beds, okay?
Right, but it's a navigable waterway, like a boat, you know, bringing just traveling up and down the river. Mm-hmm. I think when it was originally deemed as a waterway, that's, you know, they didn't go really fast.
Well, but you see, that's kind of, it's the same logic, though, is that we don't need a Second Amendment any longer because, my gosh, you know, we don't have muskets. You know, we're not using muskets. We're using AR-15s, and I can't go there. But I appreciate your call, as always, then. Appreciate it, Francine. It's 8:43. Diner 62 quiz when I return here in just a moment. So if you're on hold, I'll get your names here, and we're going to have this right after news. 770-563-3770-KMED, and we're going to be talking a little poetry today in today's historical question.
As a business owner, you likely do a lot of driving around town, so turn your business vehicle into an attention-getting
KMED.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Diner 62 Real American Quiz. By the way, Diner 62, your lunch destination. Boy, they delivered an amazing, amazing breakfast last week. But they have all sorts of grilled chicken sandwiches now added back to the menu. Avocado available on the burgers. Hot open space sandwiches through the holidays here. Hot turkey, pot roast sandwich. It's all good. Diner 62 just south of White City. So let's go to Carol. Hello, Carol. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Very well. Thank you.
All right, Carol. We are going back into history of 1830. It was today, 1830, Emily Dickinson, born in Amherst, Massachusetts. She was a witty and popular student at Amherst Academy and at Mount Holyoke, but was viewed as somewhat unconventional. She made a few trips to Philadelphia and Boston, but rarely left Amherst. She preferred home, where her stern lawyer father, invalid mother, spinster, boy, isn't that an interesting word? I don't hear that very often, right? And also domineering brother created a colorful, if oppressive, family life. In 1858, Emily Dickinson started collecting the many short poems she wrote into a small hand-sewn book. In 1862, she wrote an editor at the Atlantic Monthly, Thomas Wentworth Higginson, to evaluate her work. He felt her work wasn't ready to publish, but became her mentor, and the two corresponded for many years. Emily Dickinson wrote 1,775 poems. How many were published in her lifetime? How many actually published? Was it one poem, seven poems, 42 poems, 252, or 683? And she wrote almost 1,800 of them. What do you say?
Oh, my goodness.
I had no idea on this one. I had to take a guess that I was wrong, so we'll see what happens. Okay?
How about C, the third one?
You're going to say C, 42. Not this time, Carol. Sorry,
okay.
Was holding out for you. Let's go to Mike and Weimer. Mike, we're talking Emily Dickinson. She wrote close to 1,800 poems. How many got published? Was it 1, 7, 252, or 683?
I'm going to go for 252.
252. No, it wasn't that either. Chris is in Medford, and Chris, you're up here next. Welcome. So it's 1 poem, 7 poems, or 683 poems. What do you say?
And you said in her lifetime?
In her lifetime. How many were actually published? She wrote close to 1,800.
Let's say 7.
7. It's a good day for you.
You're a winner!
You got it, Chris.
Awesome.
Although she wrote 1,775 poems, only 7 published. All were pretty simple, endless variations on the same pattern. Dickinson died at the age of 55. Now, in 1890, thanks to her sister's efforts, Poems by Emily Dickinson was published, followed by more volumes over the next 60 years. In 1955, the complete works of Emily Dickinson was published, and she had only one romance that is known about today with Judge Otis Lord. Although it looked like the two would marry, the romance ended. Dickinson was increasingly reluctant to leave the house after 1862 and would often say no to even seeing visitors, but she wrote a lot of great poems, apparently, from the sounds of it, so... There we go. And Chris, you're going to Diner 62. Got to be pretty happy about that, I'll bet. Huh? We'll be right back.
Yeah.
And let me get your address. I'll be right with you. It's 11 before 9.
The Montana Ruby.
camping crews are very observant in their daily travels, and occasionally they can appear to be telepathic, like this dramatized occurrence.
I mean, talk to Zach in Eagle Point. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
8:52. Quick chat here with Charisse now, because it's time to save some money on Open for Business. Charisse over at No Wires Now. And by the way, if you don't know her number, you can call or text message her right now. 541-680-5875. Welcome back, Charisse. How you doing? Charisse, it might help if I push the right button. There we go, Charisse. Now we got you on. How you doing this morning? Good morning.
Good. Good morning, everyone.
All right. Tell us about how you're going to save money. Do your best to save money on internet and or phone and or, you know, television. I mean, all sorts of services that you offer at family-owned and operated No Wires. What's the story?
So basically, if you have Spectrum cable, you know your bill is going to go up again. It just keeps going up and up and up and up. And who are you going to call? They don't care. You call them, they're not going to lower your bill. I will. So come in the store. I have 5 gift cards for the first 5 people that come in today into the store to talk about their situation. I'm going to give you a Lowe's gift card just for coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm known from taking like a Spectrum internet bill from $80 anywhere down to $30 to $50.
You managed to save someone $50 on that, because my bill just ended up popping back up there. It's like $89 is what they're charging me
okay.
right now.
Okay, good. Okay, so I'll lower that.
Really?
I'm not going to lower yours to $30, but I'll get yours to $50. But I got your mom's down to $30.
Wait a minute. Don't they know who I am? Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. I just...
Well, your mom's, I got her the 100 meg. I'll get you the 500 megs, which is $50.
Okay. I'm just having fun with you. You know that. No, but seriously, you save a lot of people a lot of money on this here. So you've got this Lowe's card for people, just for the next few people that end up popping into the store. Where's the store if they've never been there?
Hmm? Okay. I'm on Biddle Road, right next to Cigar Caves, between People's Bank and FedEx. Come on in, bring me a copy of your bill. If you don't have one, I'll generate one for you, and then we'll just, like, look at it. We'll see where you're spending all your money, how I can lower your bill. You know, my main thing I want to do is take you from Spectrum TV or DirecTV. I want to switch you to Dish. I'll give you a $200 Visa card, plus I'll lower your internet and your cell phone bills for free. So I'm going to save you $100 to $200 a month.
Okay, restrictions apply. Get in touch with Charisse and... We'll see what she can do for you, okay? The other thing I wanted to talk about there is that you have ways to save money on cellular, too. Mm-hmm. And how do you work that there at No Wires?
Okay, so I offer Verizon unlimited talk, text, and data, $30 a line, tax-free, no contract, keep your same phone, your same number. If you are owing money on your phones, Spectrum will actually pay up to $500 per line. If you got a, you know, 4 lines, a family of 4 on a Verizon plan, you're probably paying $250. I can get it to $90.
Wow.
And it's still with Verizon. So I also have free phones. I have 5 iPhones for free, and I have 5 Android phones for free. So if you need a new phone, I'll give you a phone for free.
All right. So from what it sounds like there, you have ways. Now, is this with Verizon, or are you working with Spectrum Wireless? I'm a little bit confused. I want to make sure I hear this right.
Okay. So Spectrum uses Verizon powers.
Oh, got it. Okay, that's what
so
it is.
They,
all right.
Yeah, so if you go to Verizon, the main store, you're going to pay buku bucks. They're going to charge you taxes. They're going to charge you hidden fees. They're going to charge you insurance. I don't do any of that. I eliminate all of that, $30 a line, no hidden fees.
Okay.
Unlimited talk, text, and data, unlimited.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I understood that. So you're not a... You know, it's expensive to get your television through there, but there's a good deal that you can work with. The Spectrum Wireless is really what you're promoting
now. Yeah, I mean, okay. Exactly. If you got a Spectrum bill or a cell phone bill that's just outrageous, come talk to me. I'm going to help you. I'll show you how I can lower it and save you some money.
All right. All sorts of offers there, but you have to, well, become a client to be able to get these offers. 541-680-5875. You can call or text message Charisse. You can call her right now and do this. And you can also just take a picture of your bill on your phone and send it to you, right? That you can work off of that, can't you?
Yeah, totally. And then if you're getting, you know, the $500 Visa gift card in the mail from Dish, please don't call the 1-800 number. I've had so many clients think it's my number. If I don't answer the phone and it's not me, you are not going to get the best service possible.
All right. So you get that service with no wires now. 541-680-5875. We'll talk before Christmas, I think, right? We're going to talk again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And if you're calling me from a landline, remember to dial a 1.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you, Charisse. Hey, I'll put your information up on my webpage, all right? Head over to No Wires Now, nowiresnow.com, 857.
Matt here with an urgent message from the Joe.
Matt Stone with Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on KMED.
This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point Medford, KPXG Grants Pass. I want to make sure we get Dawn in here. Dawn, you're on the other side of the jet boat issue, and I want to make sure you get a bite of the apple. What's the best point for adding some restrictions to the Rogue, in your opinion?
Bill, I've lived on the Rogue above Dodge Bridge since 1973. I've owned jet boats since probably early to middle 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always taken my jet boat below Tuvel or Table Rock Road.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole problem with them is it's a safety issue, Bill. They have to travel at high rates of speed. They call them jets for a reason. They're not controlled like a regular motorboat would be. And it's a real safety issue for people that are drifting in their rafts or kayak fishing or whatever. So I'm not going to comment environmentally on this stuff, but I've got a concern over safety. So,
all right. How many people have been hurt by that? Because most of the people who die on the river are dying floating the river, but they're not being hit by jet boats.
You're absolutely correct. You know how many jet boats have been on that river? Almost zero. There's not that many. Now they've started again, and that's the issue.
Okay. Dawn, I appreciate your thoughtfulness, and thanks for checking in, okay? I wanted to give the other side a look at that, too, not just, I have a strong point of view on it, but maybe you're right. That's something else to consider. It's a minute after 9. Hello, Matt. How are you doing? You want to talk a bit about the economy? Go ahead.
Yeah. Marketing, marketing, marketing. Trump has an opportunity here.
Yeah, back off your phone a little bit so you don't distort, okay?
Oh, okay. Is that better?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Marketing, marketing, marketing. Trump is exactly the kind of personality he can do this. The fact is he should have a national rally for consumers to say, come on, businesses, let's get together and make America's life better. Let's do what we can to reduce cost to the end consumer. Two-thirds of our economy is consumerism, and it all comes down to confidence. If people feel confident, they will spend their money. And I think Trump can go a long way. And one other thing, in regards to policy, sometimes you do things that are important. Sometimes you do things that are urgent. Hopefully you do both. But to me, the most urgent thing are the tax cuts. The most important thing is deregulation. That's a longer-term project. That's what important is. If he can focus on deregulation, if you can sort of turn loose the dogs of the economy and people feel confident, I think there's no top.
Yeah, I would say that if I were advising Donald Trump, the number one issue, first and foremost, grab control of the border, because that has been a big disorder and law of order issue, and it's actually affecting people greatly in a negative fashion. Then I would be going on those tax cuts. The tax cuts, you have to get going. It's going to take a little more time. You have to get stability. It would put too much flux in it to let that expire. Fair enough. I got 15 seconds left here, right?
Yep, that's exactly it. That is, the border is urgent. Those tax cuts are urgent. Deregulation is what's important. That's going to have the biggest impact on where we go economically in this country is regulation. Herman hit it on the head.
Thank you very much, man.
An intelligent solution saves you money. This is Randall at Advanced Air. It takes an expert to navigate the current HVAC rebates. Call Advanced Air to save big on equipment replacement. Advanced Air is currently offering an additional rebate.